Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. Hello there, and you're all very welcome to this special best of the Tommy, Hector and Loretta episode. And we've selected some magic moments for you to relive. We hope you enjoy it. How was the, you were, last time we were talking to you about to head down to the mines, the coal mine.
Yes.
And
we went to a coal mine in Katowice, the second largest coal mine in Europe, where they make the black diamond.
Did you go down?
No, they wouldn't let us down in the end, so sort of fell through.
And then sort of fell through.
Did you just go to the gift shop?
What the fuck? He just bought a pen made from coal.
Yeah. brought back a 5 kilo bag for the wife. Did you check it in with the Ryanair flight? 5 kilo bag of Polish.
25 kilo bag of black diamonds. When we got there.
It kind of fell through. That kind of fell through. What do you mean? How could it fall through?
What was the issue? It's a mass
Idiot.
Dad is bringing the kids to fucking Euro Disney. He thought he has it all organised. He comes back from the fucking desk. It kind of fell through.
Not today, kids.
What the hell? We're not going to Euro Disney.
How could that fall through? What was the technical issues there?
When you're organising stories from one end of the world to the other, everything seems better sometimes on paper. And when we got there, we had to go into this HR office, human resources office. We're all sitting around. There were six lads in suits. I just wanted to be met by a miner who puts a fucking boots
on. There's a light on his head.
And he says, come on. And so we had to go in and shake hands. Nobody spoke any English. We're all sitting around the table and no English at all. And I'm looking at him and going, and he knows my what the fuck is happening here, right? Because this is shit. And he's there, hello, everyone. Hello.
He's trying to make it really exciting. Yeah.
And then everyone, right? And then everyone goes, Where is the person who speaks English? And they're just sitting there. I'm giving it yak shamash and all that, but that's about. And then
they're like, "Did you ever fuck off?"
Finally, we had to. Finally, the miner came in a brilliant orange jumpsuit and the big helmet on him and the big boots, and he looked like a miner and he didn't speak a word of English and he just sat in and he just...
Did anybody know what the meeting was about?
We came all the way from Ireland just to sit there. And we were there going, yes, okay, now okay.
Hector, Yakshimash.
What are we, where are we? And there was no English. So we all moved down to an area to get dressed and take off our boots and put on boots and put on a hat and all this crack. And then it started lashing rain and it was a wind chill factor, fucking -5. And the mine is just cold. And then we all hopped into a little van and we went to this massive mountain of coal. It was like the size of fucking 50 houses and it was black diamond and it was lashing and it was grey. And we just stood there for about an hour. And then we were trying to go, what are we doing? This is shit. And I said, is there anyone who speaks English? And nobody understood me. And then I had to say, we can't film because I can't talk to you. So then what we tried to do was a four-way translation between me A girl came down from the office who spoke a bit of English. Then she translated it to the miner, and then I translated it back to me. So I'm there going, "Can you tell me about the size of the mine?"
And then
your man goes,
and then you had to put it into Irish as well.
It just didn't work out, Tommy. It didn't work out. We were so disappointed.
We
couldn't do it because there was no English.
Did you find when you were a young woman in your late teens, early 20s, that you were attracted to a particular physical type?
Not sure. No, maybe.
Like, did you find it? Were they always chunky books, or were they always?
No, there was a very big mixture of books, all kind of shapes.
Were you auditioning
and sizes
for Who Wants to Ride a Blues?
Yeah, it was good. It was an interesting experiment. So I have to say,
you didn't have a particular type. You didn't notice. I know a woman now.
I probably did have a type. Like, I probably, because my circle of my environment was kind of Gaelic football and stuff, it was generally that kind of
fit
genre.
So a
country.
Fit young fella.
Yeah.
And because he's fit, lively.
Yeah.
You know, kind of
all those
tall, dark, and GAA.
Any type of
GAA. And was GAA stipulation?
No, but it was just the people that I hung around with that I knew.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So kind of tidy enough, like short hair and no hippies.
No, I never.
Did you ever ride a hippie, as my mother said to me?
I never did. Did you?
What?
Did you?
Did I ever get going with it? No, I didn't.
Hippies.
But I did.
Sure,
did I ever ride a hippie? No, but I did have a dalliance with a supermodel from Amsterdam. But we might save that for
No. Let's talk about it now.
We might save that for another
episode. But if you look at the
tea.
The GA players of now have their choice of the parish.
They all look like fucking accountants.
The GA players
are all clean cut.
No, they all wear skinny
jeans. They're well done.
They all look like they're going to fucking Athlone IT, Larita, studying fucking business.
If the Mayo, if some Gardner of the Mayo boys walked into a pub in Castlebar,
I know it's different now.
They have the pick of the parish.
And they're all.
There's no Kieran McDonald's anymore. There's no kind of. There's no wild Apache.
There's a tomahawk.
You know what I mean? There's no. They all
look the same.
They're
now
all coming from the GAA factory.
But they didn't look the same. Like, they were all sort of different. What they
remember the Bomber Liston?
Yeah,
8 foot tall, covered
Tommy
in hair.
Tommy Dowd was no rock star, but he was a Gaelic footballer.
You know what I mean?
But sure,
proper books.
Sure, people were attracted to them too, but they're not.
Colm O'Rourke, 9 foot tall. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you had Bernard Flynn, about 2 foot 2. Do you know what I mean? Real men.
Yeah, but Bernard had it all going on.
Bernard liked the bit of the tan and everything.
He was as cool as a breeze, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He still is. But they were different like 15, 20 years ago. Gaelic footballers were different. Now they're just all the same.
Yes, they are all the same.
They all wear the same clothes.
Same haircut. Same clean cut look on them. Except some of the
I think they look good.
Some of the Tyrone boys now, in fairness, the Tyrone boys do come down from the hills
looking
like real cowboys.
Yeah.
Moustaches and sideburns.
Yeah. But the tats.
Yeah. The thing with the Tyrone boys is you could see them on a Saturday night, the bootcut jeans and the brown slip-ons and all that.
Going to Mike Denbrock. Oh, yeah. In the Silver Birch, you know.
They do look good on the pitch, but at the weekend they might put on the Timberlands.
The Timberlands and the
Did you have a type, Hector?
Yeah, did you have
a woman?
Yeah.
I like that raggle tackle daggle daggle gypsy.
Catch a wire held door. They came bright and boldly, oh, and one sang high and the other sang low. And they both sang a raggle tackle gypsy.
Oh, she took me and then she said, "How you doing?"
So how did you approach?
She rolled me eye.
What you like now is a young with a tin whistle and a.
I went through phases. I suppose it's the phases you go through. I suppose. Yes. Look, there was a time when I was in. I had a big copper owl earring.
Big cock, that he said.
I thought he said too.
I had a big owl.
I think he was going for it, and he changed his mind.
The hair was long, and I had a big pair of dungarees.
Big owl cock.
If people were up front by going, I should know, there was a time when I had a big owl cock and I was going around with it now like a
wouldn't see it in Coolmore.
Imagine in a conversation you just come out going, there was a time I went through a phase when I was using me big owl cock.
But it'd be great to see presidents talking like that to one another, do you know, like
one another,
like Michael Dean, the president of Zambia is here, and Michael I hear you have a massive laugh.
And Vladimir Putin going, have I ever seen it? You ever seen my lad?
Small, stumpy, very powerful.
A horseback riding.
But, looks like me, Ed.
You would just halfway through the mass, just the Pope, just fucking scratching his nodger.
Do you love to see that? Just
taking it out just, and blessing everyone with it.
Or just a nun at Fatima, just leaning over on one cheek of her arse. Just to let the wind out. Oh. We have repressed the physical to our detriment.
Jacob Rees-Mogg. Yes, my, yes. Yeah. Look, there was a time when I liked, I was a bit of that. I was in Hothouse Flowers. It was a raggle taggle. I was wearing them old sort of Galway, West of Ireland hippie gear. And I was into the raggle taggle gypsy.
Did you have one of them? I don't know what they're called. I had a few of them. They're kind of like smocks.
Yeah, they were sort of.
But they have a hood.
And they had a sort of a design.
Yes, and then a pocket.
Yes, Tommy.
Everyone had hippie things.
Yes.
Yeah, everyone had to have one of them around Galway. And I had
Jesus sandals as well. Had you them?
Yeah. There was a band called the Joe Boxers. I had one of them big fluffy, big old hats. And I have a picture.
There's
of
the band in Galway around the time. Remember the big geraniums?
It's classic.
The big geraniums were like a English extreme hippie version of the Hothouse Flowers. They were fucking tremendous. There's one lad, he played the dog.
Squeezing him under his arm.
He played the greyhound.
Oh my God.
There was a time where you get a grant for the greyhound in Galway. You could get
an actual dog.
Off the dole. No, on the dole.
That was the big thing.
In the dole, you got your butter voucher and you got your allowance for the greyhound.
You always get the hard shaws around the West. You think I'm voting for Michael D. Higgins? You can fuck off. He's the one that put through the grant for the fucking hippies and their dogs. I swear to fuck, if you have a dog and no leading and you're playing the dole, you get a piece of string and the government fucking paying for it. You can fuck off.
That was the phase I went through. I was in the bit after. So we all go through phases. I was a mod, I was a ska, and then I was a raggle taggle. I was the west of Ireland.
And your big Motown phase.
What phase? Were you a mod, Tommy?
I wasn't a mod. I was a status quo rocker. Whatever you want. Whatever you like.
I was a new romantic. Were you never?
Oh, we were. Yeah, right.
Yeah, new romantics.
And when we weren't a big country, what were we?
We were
kind of Celtic.
Celtic rockers.
Celtic spirit rockers.
I went heavily into the goth when I started singing.
Goth?
I
didn't do the mascara.
Right, transvestites. The whole thing. He just went mad.
Black nail varnish. I went heavily into the,
when I was lead singer of Vita Pizzex, I was a goth. So I went through many phases. I don't know what phase I'm
Did
in now.
Black hair as well?
What phase are we in now?
You're in your Robbie Savage phase.
The Robbie Savage.
You're in your punditry and crack phase.
Yeah, what's the phase? Tell me the phases you went through, because
it was very.
So the music I was listening at the time determined what the type of clothes we were wearing as we grow older. Paisley shirts, Doc Martens, The Mission, All About Eve,
oh, yeah.
The Cure, The Smiths. The music we listened to defined what we wore as we were teenagers and going
Yeah, but
through.
The music of the 90s wasn't that influential, was it? Not like it was in the 80s.
Had you any phases?
No, I just used to wear...
Miniskirts?
Yeah, we used to wear miniskirts and then we wore...
Spice Girls would have been a big influence
on
you.
Oh yeah, actually they were. So we had the really wide jeans.
Happy Mondays would have been an influence on you?
No.
That Manchester Madness?
No.
No?
Not really.
Cranberries?
Not over in the west of Ireland. No, not
Did you
really.
Did you ever go to Doc Martens? Any of that?
No, I never had the Doc Martens. We had the wide jeans, the runners, the body warmers, it was all, I don't know, you'd never get dressed up or put makeup on going to a disco.
You would have been GAA Spice.
I would have been
GAA,
Sporty Spice.
The GAA was influencing you. Tell me, what phases did you go through?
I would have started off
with mistake. To be honest, truthfully, which is I would have started off by Christa Berg phase.
Oh yeah, so tell
There's
us about
a Spanish
that.
Train that runs between Guadalquivir and Olzaville and the dead of night. You can hear it still. It's about the devil playing a game of cards on a train in Spain.
Right.
Oh, it's fucking unbelievable. The tension is unbelievable. Even if you've heard the song 300 times, it's the tension is. And then Patricia the Stripper.
Oh yeah, I loved that one too. Now. So how did you...
So I went to that phase and then I got into status quo.
How do you think that phase affected you?
It didn't, because I wasn't buying my own clothes back then.
Okay, right.
For Christa Berg, I was only like 10 or 11.
Right.
But I was into the storytelling.
Yes.
Then I got into status quo.
Yes.
And the only way that affected me was I had a denim jacket with a status quo patch on it. And then I went into me Flock of Seagulls phase. That didn't really affect what I was wearing, but it affected the phone bill in the house. Because we had a landline and I'd phone up Radio Carousel. Can you pay telecommunication by a Flock of Seagulls?
Radio Carousel.
Telecom.
Radio Carousel was the radio station that came live from the centre of the shopping centre.
It was in the shopping centre. Larita, will I blow your mind?
Will this is forward
thinking. Will I blow your mind?
Yeah.
The radio station was still on when the shopping centre was closed. Right. That's fucking sure. commitment.
That radio is carousel.
They locked themselves in there.
So if anybody, yeah, so if anybody would like to hear a blast of the 1980s, just go to whatever music platform you like and do Iran, not the country.
And Iran.
Iran and Iraq. No.
I ran
so far away. I couldn't get away. So there were and that Flock Seagulls phase. Now, if you remember the guy, the Flock Seagulls, he had the most tremendously individual hairstyle. There was nothing seen like Atelier Man from The Prodigy. He had, do people have a Mohican down the middle?
Yes.
Well, he had a Mohican at the, two Mohicans at the side.
Right.
So you had two kind of shafts of fucking, what do you call the big lizards that are alive? What do you call the big lizards that are alive on the beach?
Iguanas.
No, they're massive. They're Komodos.
Oh, Komodos.
You had two big Komodo things at either side of his head and a bit coming down the middle that just went off into a cow.
Did you ever get to the
my hair? My hair wouldn't have responded to that kind of treatment. And it would be very hard to go into, what was it, Cal's. What was the, not the butchers, what was the barbers in Navan at the top of Flower Hill?
And
he's gone over to
Barry's.
No, it wasn't. No, it was Cahill.
Down past the Valley Cafe.
Yeah, Cahill's.
Rich Cahill's.
Cahill's, yeah. It was a Cahill's.
No, it wasn't Cahill's.
What was it?
What's the name? He's still there.
He's still there. Richie.
Richie something.
Not Cahill, is it?
No, wait. I'll stay with me.
Stay with me.
Come back to us, actor.
Is it Richie Cahill? And he was bald as the coot
it's
himself.
Richie Barry, is it not?
Richie Barry. No, you're thinking of the dancers. No.
You're the Billy Mary.
Who's the fella that was the hairdresser?
Casey.
Richie is the Casey. I knew he was close. I was fucking close with the gal.
So Richie was the barber.
Richie Casey.
Richie Casey. And he was bald as a coot in him hairdresser. It's like seeing a fella with no legs selling shoes.
Oh my good God.
What would you do? You went into a shop full of no legs. And he said these are very comfortable.
Oh, I need a pair of bronze.
And he puts them on his hands and he pretends to be walking with them across the desk. And he's fucking imagine, can I sell you a pair of socks as well? And he pulls a pair of fucking socks under his fucking elbow.
And then he goes to you, have you ever seen the Crocs? Have you seen these Crocs?
And he puts on a pair of Crocs and I was fucking clapping. Look at them. I have a question for you. You worked in a jeweller's.
Yes.
What would be the best way to rob a jeweller's?
Oh, Jesus. I was in the shop one day on my own and there was this fella.
Would I need a gun?
You'd need a mask.
I'd say jeweller's probably one of the hardest places to rob.
No.
Because there's panic buttons everywhere.
Where are the panic buttons?
Well, I can't tell you that. There's
one way to rob a jeweller's, Tommy, everywhere. That's walking in with a sledgehammer. Okay.
You couldn't rob it at night. Okay. There'd be no point in robbing a jeweller's shop
walk
at night.
Why? A broad daylight.
You'd have to go in when it's there because all the jewels are hidden away at night. All the expensive stuff.
What do you mean they're fucking hidden? They're hidden away in the shop.
No, they're put into a big safe.
Yeah.
With a special number in it.
No, with a big, massive, one you'd see in a big bank.
I'd get the lads who took the fucking the cash machines out of the wall up in Gavin.
With the JCB.
Yeah.
There was an awful space.
You have to drive it straight through the shop.
They use it. There was a space of the cash machine robberies.
Yeah.
Just go in and dig it out.
Fella driving 3 miles an hour in the getaway car with a forklift going down the road.
My name is John Mannion. I've been working with JCBs for 37 years.
I'd say your best time to do it would be during the day.
During the day. Now, if I didn't have a gun, say I just brought in a woman's head.
You just press the panic button and wait for the guards.
Tommy, you walk in with a hammer and you sledge the
thing. Oh, fuck's sake, a hammer.
And you just sledge the thing and then you pilfer and then you put loads into a bag and then you run. And then somebody up the street goes, "Well, Tommy, how are you?"
I'd end up with glass that I thought was diamonds.
Yeah, you would. Yeah,
you smash it.
The panic button, can I just ask you, when you go to a jeweller's with a hammer, right, and the person behind the counter presses the panic button, what does the panic button do?
It calls the guards.
It calls the guards?
Yeah. Straight to the guard station.
And do the guards know that when this phone number comes up, the jewellery shop has been robbed?
Yeah. Well, so there used to be... Or, down low sometimes. Kids would press them, you know, if they were walking around with their parents at the shop. The guards would come down about a half an hour later. Is everything all right here? Yeah,
so you have half an hour before the rapid response unit hits
arrives.
The place.
Yeah, I was in the shop one day on my own, and this fella was like walking up and down the street the opposite side, and he kept walking.
He was casing the joint. That's a technical term, Rita.
Yes, thanks, Detective Hector. And Detector.
Yeah, that's new male TV Caucasian show. 41.
He came in anyway. Eventually, he walked across the street, started looking in the window. I was kind of like, this fella fucking. Is he with someone else or?
Yeah.
And then I soon realised he was just a bit mental.
Ashtuch.
And he came into the shop and he went, what time is it? And I said, it's 10 to 3. And he just ran out of the shop again. Okay. So he's obviously mental.
Would you get, like, it would have to be worth your while to rob a jeweller's. Like,
You'd have to know what you're looking for. Because yeah, you could end up getting a load of.
Shite.
Yeah.
Could you, in a normal jeweler, normal town jewellers, would there be half a million worth of stuff that in a place of that? Not really? 200,000?
Yeah. There would be, yeah.
Maybe a quarter of a million?
Yeah, depending on the cut of diamonds.
It depends on the cabinet.
The back.
You could hit the right cabinet. If you want to attack the right, you want the engagement ring and the wedding rings. Isn't that what we're looking for? The diamonds.
And the nice foppy.
We'd need to do a PowerPoint presentation on which cabinet.
And what kind of watches, depending on the watches.
Strike it with a hammer.
What would you be looking for if you went in?
I just want adrenaline, that's all.
Adrenaline, so, right.
Yeah. So, I'll ask you then, if you go in and you say you get some stuff and you've robbed the shop, the hardest part for a criminal is the next hour. What's your
where would your hiding place?
What's your plan for the next hour as you exit the shop in broad daylight in the main street in Ballina?
First of all, I'd run out of the shop.
Tommy Tiernan or are you dressed up as somebody else?
I'm dressed like Derek Ryan. I have a Derek Ryan. They're the country singer. I have a Derek Ryan mask on me.
So what's the next step then, Tommy? What's your getaway?
Well, I see. Would you go
on foot or by car?
I want to confuse everybody. So instead of a hammer, I'd go in with a dead cat.
Right. And in a bag?
Yeah. No, in me fist.
Right.
And I put the dead cat on the counter. And then I take the hammer. No, the cat is dead, Hector. The cat is dead. And people would just go, what the... And then I'd take out the hammer. And I would need help or advice. So I'd have to ask the lady behind the counter, which stuff should I steal?
Right.
And would you tell me? If your life was in danger...
I'd give you the shitty stuff.
Would you really?
Yeah.
You'd be that brave.
Yeah, but sure. You wouldn't obviously know.
You send them off to the Casio cabinet.
You wouldn't go if you were asking. You would.
I'd be on the run with loads of old digital watches.
Yeah. If you were asking, you wouldn't know what you were looking for, so you'd give them the bad stuff.
So go on.
So then I'd
say no.
I'd somehow come up with a bag of stuff.
Would you say stick them up? It's a robbery.
What?
Stick it up. Stick them up. It's a robbery.
Stick it up. I'd say, brought the kettle. I'm robbing this place.
And then what all right, everyone stay quiet. I'm robbing this. Okay, joint.
I just go, shh, say nothing. And then I'd take all the stuff. But I'd burst out with my bag full of jewels. And I'd just go, I'd shout. I'd go, living the life. Living the life. Derek Ryan is living the life.
And then you'd have an accordion on your back and you start playing a tune.
I'd go busking.
You'd go busking.
Live tonight in the Mount Falcon, Derek Ryan.
Did anyone see a suspicious man dressed like Derek Ryan? And then people go, no, but I saw a busker and walking.
A busker. You'd never be caught. You'd never be caught.
Tommy,
hang on. If you robbed a jeweler shop in a Derek Ryan mask and then went outside, then took it off, and started busking, the guards would never think that you just. Stayed inside the shop again today. They'd have all the roads closed.
Give us a Derek Ryan song. What's a Derek Ryan song? Revving them up in the middle-day.
Revving them up and me ringing them up.
Next minute, the rapid response, and all the CSI tape around the shop. And across 50 yards across the street, there's a guy. You can love me like you want. You can love me twice tomorrow.
Next time... The next time you got fucking Opry Le Daniel, I'd be draped in fucking jewels.
Ladies and gentlemen, Derek Ryan. He's like fucking Tupac.
20 watches and rings and everything.
I'm like fucking Snoop Dogg. Did somebody say,
stop the world and let me off.
You'd have a new song out about watches.
And the cops would be all outside going, I fucking love Derek Ryan. He's playing tonight.
Don't forget, if you do like what you hear or if you want to check out what we do on a Monday on our special members podcast, you can go to thlpod.com and you can sign up there to become a member. Here's a quick taste of what to expect from our Acast Plus members only episode. It's out every Monday.
I've always wondered why they call whiskey here. Now, there are two words for whiskey, isn't there, Hector Oscailge? There's fushke and there's ishke baha. And ishke baha translates as the water of life. And I was thinking, why would you call whiskey the water of life? Like, it doesn't make a fierce amount of sense. And it only fucking hit me when I started drinking it in the morning. That's... I started taking a drop in the coffee. I started, I'd have a cup of coffee at 9 o'clock and I would just have a little fucking, I'd have a little dollop in and I just felt fucking nice and warm and buzzed up till about 11:30 and it was great.
So that's the water of
life. So I had that on the island and I had beautiful morning pints and it was wonderful and the fresh air there was great. So that was my few days. Hector, you've had an entirely different type of adventure. Would you like to share it with us?
7 days into it. You're welcome to the clinic here, the asylum. It's not, we're 7 days into Omicron. Last Tuesday, the Tuesday after Christmas, the Monday after Christmas, there was a few dry coughs and a few sputters and a few like, and then a few, what's that? I don't know. What's that? No. So Tuesday morning, the antigen test came out and it was like a sick bay in the kitchen. They were queuing up. And of course, I was Mr. Covasal and I said, I've been doing this for a year and a half, you know. So I said, oh my God, there's nothing nicer as a father than jamming that yolk as far as you can into the teenage cranium skull of your son, because you can't even get him to put on a jacket. But I had him there now, and I said, start breathing. And I nearly broke it on the back of his nose once or twice. The older fella really said, oh, you're going too far. I said, breathe. So everyone tested positive last Tuesday. It's a week today.
So everyone tested positive is your missus and the two gossins.
Yes, everybody in the house except daddy. So therefore, yes. Daddy, I called all the parties to the kitchen table and we made a cross-border decision and a cross-party decision between the teenagers and the responsible parents of the house to evacuate the downstairs area. And we said, everybody, let's move to a safe area in sector 4, which is upstairs. So for 7 days and seven
you're
nights,
mad for fucking plans. What do you mean you abandoned downstairs?
And the walkie-talkies.
The whole family moved upstairs and I have been communicating with them with the walkie-talkie for 7 days and seven nights. Over. Yeah, this is what's the story? And so they ring down on the walkie-talkie. They are not allowed. Dipna sits on the top of the stairs like she's in the landing in some state penitentiary. And I say, get back up that stairs. Stay up there. The two boys are walking along the landing like they're inmates in Wormwood Scrubs. They're looking down going, Dad, any chance of a coke? And I says, get back up off that landing. Who told you can get out of that room? Get into your room. So I've begun up and down the stairs with masks. The novelty wore off after about day two when food was coming up. Do you want sweet chili sauce with your burger? Do you want your Bundy toasted? Do you want this? So then I said, all communication has to happen on channel 1 on the walkie-talkie. So when they want something, they walkie-talkie it down. I brought the TV, an extra TV screen into Rian's room. I brought the Xbox in. It's like Dr. Quirky's on Westmoreland Street. It's a fucking gaming parlour. Yeah. And they have a bit of a gym set up in another bedroom. My wife is isolating in her own room in the master bedroom. And then Daddy had to set up his own little den downstairs. So I sleep in the sitting room beside the fire with my own little single mattress. I took a single mattress down. And
Jesus,
I've got
times
quilt.
Are tough, Hector.
I've got a little quilt by the fire, but it's fucking beautiful because I've got Netflix and fucking the darts and large copious amounts of gin and tonic on my own. And I said, fucking, I'm going to have another. I'm at 3 a.m. I started binging on Netflix and drinking gin then till about 3 or 4 in the morning. I haven't been awake at 4 a.m. in 20 years. And I'm there going, oh, lovely Hendrix gin. Daddy needs Hendrix. Daddy's running the house. So I've watched the whole of Gomorrah season 5. I've finished 10, 50 hours of Deadwood. I'm on the last season of Billions. I'm after watching Gomorrah. I'm lying there on the 28th of December at 3 o'clock in the morning watching Chiro and fucking Gennaro. And Blue Blood is after getting the head battered off and Blue Blood with the wonky eye.
And I'm just lying down in my own little daddy's den downstairs because they can't come down the stairs and it's fucking beautiful.
We hope you enjoyed that taste of our members-only episode. To find out more, head to www.thlpod.com/members-only.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
We've turned the corner and the new solstice has arrived. We are in the new solstice has arrived, and we're
solstice.
and we are awake.
Solstice,
Tommy, solstice. Please don't. Solstice is what we say in Navan.
Solstice.
Did you ever go the winter solstice?
Yeah.
It's not solstice.
They're the light bulbs you get in Aldi.
What do you call it?
It's solstice.
It's solstice.
The solstice.
The solstice. We are
putting
now
too many letters in.
We are now facing.
Did I say that hospital? Solstice hospital.
Solstice. We are now facing a new spring and a new sense of
yeah. Hollis Street.
Where was the baby born? Oh, it's solstice. And we welcome baby Emma, 9 pounds 9 ounces, born in Solstice Street.
I was just wondering where you were going. I was like, is it some sort of a psychiatric
hospital? Solstice Street.
Hector, 1 minute every day.
9 minutes.
1 minute every day. It's built in 1 minute.
There are nine.
Where did you go for the solstice? I went to Hollister.
Well, it was above at Newgrange for the solstice. 9 minutes of new sunlight, a new day is awakening us here as we go forward.
I don't think that's true, Hector.
No, it's that 1 minute every day.
Yeah, 9 minutes a day would be a lot.
Yeah, it's but I think 9 minutes sounds much
he's
better.
He's stuck on the 9th of January.
No, but if you're putting on the dinner at 5 o'clock on a dark, danky old January evening and 9 minutes a day like past 5 o'clock.
No, not 9 minutes a day. It's not 1 minute every day.
It's 9 minutes per day for 9 sevens right, and 63. Okay. 63 minutes of daylight awakens us in January as we forge through to the new spring.
Okay, let's.
If it's a minute a day, should we be still asleep by May?
What are you talking about? What are you raving about?
I felt as if I was a bear there lying in a.
So hang on, if it's a minute if it's a minute a day, it's half an hour a month.
Yeah.
So that means in 5 months there'll be an extra 2.5 hours
yeah.
light.
Yeah, but if it's
and there isn't, because there's more than 2.5 hours.
Exactly. It's not a minute a day, guys.
So maybe it speeds up
You think it's what? You think it's
I think it's 9 minutes a day.
Nine minutes a day is nine sevens.
That's 63.
That's an hour a week.
Yes.
That's 4 hours a month.
That's 24 hours.
What's right with that?
By the time we get to May, there's no. We're living in fucking Iceland. There's 24 hours daylight.
I was in a place called.
Iceland.
Here we fucking go.
Open
yourself, fucking mind. I haven't said it in a year and a half. You fucking sneering bastards.
Open your fucking mind.
No, listen to me. I was in a place called Dawson City, which is way up in the Yukon. Next stop is Alaska. Yes. And in the little motel saloon type place, there's no...
Is Deadwood gone off the fucking skybox?
Deadwood.
I've started watching it.
Deadwood, Tommy.
I've started watching it.
Cunt.
You got it.
How many times did I say cunt in one episode?
Stop.
You got a droopy cunt face.
Why did they say that?
You got two kings under there, but the reason you have a droopy cunt face is because I'm going to put my knife in you, you cunt.
Why did they like, is it just a program about bad language?
No.
No, what it is the a fella wanted to write something about the way civilizations are formed. The way you start off with just a collection of individuals who are in a place because they can make money out of it or it benefits them in some way.
Yeah.
And it's about how, from that, a civilization starts, a society starts. So he originally wanted to write it about Rome or Greece. And yeah. The TV company said, no, but we can do it if you write it about a Western. So he said, okay, let me try it with a town that has no laws because the Confederacy hasn't reached there just yet. And let's, over the course of a few series, watch how a society is formed.
Oh, so they've all bad language at the start?
No. Well, the bad language is based around the gold rush. So it's a town that's formed with the basis of money and gold. And everyone who comes into that town, they form a town. They have the first hardware store. They have the first church, the first school, the first pioneers. But they're all bad bastards.
Yeah.
And gold and money is at the centre.
And tramps.
And whiskey and fucking language.
Tramps.
But seemingly back
tramps.
Then when they...
tramps.
He's mad for
the
tramps.
Language...
I would love to come in there. 14 days, 14 nights, maybe even 6 weeks up in the hills with me dog just growing me beard and looking for gold, and I find a lump and I come down, I haven't seen anybody in about fucking 900 days, and I go into the place and I fucking put the rock on the table. Yeah, man gives me a fistful of dollars, and I go up to the counter and I look up and there's a beautiful red haired tramp at the top of the stairs.
And what do you do?
A randy red-headed tramp. Stockings and suspenders.
Stockings and suspenders and a bit of mascara and a glint in her
eye. Ribbon in her hair.
And she says, well, Tom, you going to come up to see me? And I say, give us 1 minute.
And then I
just go over and I get a little gold coin and I put it down on the pool table as a marker. And then I go and have a few whiskies. And I go up to see this beautiful red-headed woman, and she just gives me a good... She has to wash me first.
It was a big old bowl of tin bats.
You have a bat, because you couldn't just be coming off the mountain and expecting a woman to be in any way generous towards you. So she, Tom, you coming up here for a bat? I say, 1 fucking minute now, it'll I swallow this whiskey.
And I spent best off you that
I spent
offer.
4 days and four nights drinking all day, having scrambled eggs in the fucking
in the little
shit hotel,
and AB becoming I do appreciate your kind,
and the dog is waiting for me the whole time just outside the saloon. And then after about 4 days I just head back up the mountain.
That's it. But that's Deadwood.
That's who men are, Loretta.
Ian McShane is one of the great. I mean, it's one of the great performances. If you love your westerns, you just have to get into Deadwood.
No, I hate that.
And the rise of this town.
But it's gone off the skybox. I can't find it.
I wonder where she's gone.
Probably bad language. You can probably only watch.
So
it
if you're thinking of Deadwood, I was above in Dawson City, right? Which is it is like going back in time. It's where the gold rush.
I was watching Deadwood, and I said to my beautiful red-haired wife, I said, "Who would you be?"
In Deadwood.
Deadwood. Thinking now, my wife, as you all know, is a very, very capable, strong-minded woman. And I said, who would you be in Deadwood? And I was hoping she'd say, I'd be the redhead at the top of the stairs waiting for you to give you an old scrub and a
see-inter.
And a see-inter and fill you full of whiskey and love and send you back up the mountain. That's what I was hoping she'd be saying.
And
she said, I'd be the sheriff. That's what she said. I'd be the sheriff.
Isn't it quite funny, Loretta, that 7 or 8 weeks ago I lauded and applauded Deadwood on this and there was no reaction, but now he's found Deadwood and he's fucking completely because we need to be cowboys.
It's who I really am.
We are cowboys at heart, and the sooner we get horses and just feck off for a few weeks
and the sin-eaten gold looking who are loving tramp of the hills.
Stop. I imagine coming out of a saloon and walking across a shit-filled street full of blackguards to into another saloon.
And horses.
Show me the way to the nice whiskey bar.
And dust everywhere.
And just madness and baitings and lads getting shovels across the head.
You would last a wet week in it.
We would. We'd be fucking legends. We would have a fucking stake above in the mountain. The Keoghan brothers and Tiernan operators. It would be the Tiernans and the Hockagons. The Keoghan brothers. We would have a master.
Do we call it?
They're big numbers.
No, we put our two names together and we come up with a new word.
What is it?
Cheer the Keol.
Yes.
Cheering the cue, the land of music.
Yeah, boys.
Because we'll be up there singing, digging for gold and singing, in a big country dream, stay with you like a lover's voice, cross the mountainside, stay alive. Woo! That's who we be.
He'd be gone down.
I never looked at him. I never felt this way without a reason.
It's over now. Larissa, who would you be Elvis. In Deadwood? Who'd you be?
Well, I've never seen it, and I don't think I'd like to be living there.
I think you'd be. I think
I'd be the whore at the top of the stairs.
I don't think so. No. I think you're too ambitious for that.
Right.
I think you could be the saloon owner. Yes.
Yeah. Well, what about the hardware store? You could open a hardware store selling pickaxes and shovels
and nails.
Agricultural stores, think barbed wire, shovels,
pickaxes. So what kind of shops have they got there?
They started an empire.
They wouldn't have a hospice.
No. But they have hairdressers. But they have hairdressers.
There's no hospice in Deadwood. You just left in the hill.
There'd be no need for it. You could. What about the stables? You could look the local livery.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I could be getting the horses ready for off.
Yeah. Awesome. Deadwood's a fantastic time.
You could make your cowboy boots and
1863.
Sometimes if you're, as the great Jim Morrison said, people are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are all you have when you're strange. When you're strange. So, what's happening is that there are people with personalities and habits and physiologies and psychologies who in generations gone by would have found a way of being in the world. And that maybe now, like I must have told you about the time I picked up a fella hitchhiking who didn't live anywhere.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right, a beautiful man. Yeah. And he just spent his whole life travelling around. And I just thought, he is someone that you don't meet every day.
Yeah.
That, you know, and I remember writing about it one time and saying that he should be an option on the CAO form.
Yes.
That young fellas, instead of choosing fucking, I'm going to do business management in Athlone or PE teaching in Limerick, saying, I'm going to travel the country by bus. There used to be people called sin eaters. And a sin eater was a tramp, basically, who wandered the roads. And when somebody died, a big meal would be prepared. And one of the family would go out and find one of these tramps and invite them into the house and put this big meal in front of them, and they would eat it. And what the psychology and the spirituality attached to the ritual was, he was eating the sins of the dead person. That this man of the road would absorb all the mistakes, all the bad habits, all the awful things, all the kind of missteps that the dead person had done in the form of a meal. He'd eat it, he'd take it on board.
Run away with him.
And I think that's what I should be.
Become. You should become a sin eater.
A sin eater. I will just, when the kids are reared, myself and the wife will just go
traipse around.
Tramping.
In an owl, sorry, you're in an owl paddy you're van.
You're giving her an option. She's to go with you.
I imagine she will struggle at first with the idea and with the discomfort.
And you're going to
and
walk.
And a Volkswagen caddy.
No, we'll walk.
Oh, you'll walk. Barefoot.
Not barefoot.
Just around the Barna area?
No.
Or?
The country. So they say someone in Tullamore dies.
The sin eater's coming and his wife.
The sin eater. Here's
the sin eater. He's in Banagher. I saw him in Banagher 2 days ago.
He'd be here tomorrow morning.
He was over at Jamie Moriarty in Shannon Bridge on last Tuesday week on 2 sunsets.
What would the you have sin to go eater. Around and check great... the debt notes?
No,
people would find them.
People would find you and they would say, my brother John.
Would you have a card?
My brother John is after dying. would you come to the house for a bit of food? You would never say it straight out. But when you go in, would you come into the house for a bit of food and you say, I will, I'll be there this evening. And you'd go in and you'd be dressed like a man of the roads with your big long coat.
Yeah.
And your scruffy owl beard and your you'd look wild. And you'd go in and the family would welcome you in and the dead man would be lying there and the coffin on the table or the chairs and there'd be a big plate of food.
And no one else would be having cold meat salad.
Everything.
And how would you
chicken,
manage?
There'd be turkeys, there'd be parsnips.
Would you have a little nip of whiskey?
Salt.
Would you wash it down with a nip of whiskey?
Absolutely.
Sin eater.
And then you'd eat the sins.
Yeah.
and the family would know that they had done the best.
They'd be happy then to let the dead person go.
Yeah.
Would you ask for any information on the man himself, or would you just absorb
no,
it?
Couldn't.
Would you just
no,
sit there?
You don't get involved. It's not,
you just eat the food now. You don't interact with the man at all or the woman that's in the coffin.
No, you just eat.
Would you say a prayer, Sinita?
No, by the
Sinita.
The fact
respect
that
respect
I thought you were calling him Sinita from Coronation Street.
Sinita.
Sinita.
Like,
oh,
was that a new
Sinita.
Name? Jan is after time. Where's Sinita?
Sinita. 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 Nobody would refer to him as, they would never know his name. They wouldn't know his name was Pádraic Balfe.
No.
And
your personal history is irrelevant.
He's called a Sinita.
And you wouldn't talk to anyone either in the house.
Ah, no, you would. Hello, how are you?
No, it'd be better if you just were mysterious, I think.
And then you would
it's
make
your business, Larissa, if yeah, I talk to people or not.
Would you make your way, Tommy?
What?
Oh, sorry, Sinita. Would you make your way then when it's done? Would you excuse yourself and say, I'll be off, so.
No, you wouldn't. You'd finish the meal. You'd sit there. The people would thank you. You'd say, no problem. And they might offer you a bed in the shed or in the hay barn.
That's lovely.
And do you do any praying or anything?
Not at all.
Sinita, would you take...
The act of you eating the food is the prayer.
Can I ask a question, Sinita? Would you take a little donation to the Sinita Society of Ireland? Would you take a donation for the long, hard road?
You never carry cash, but I would have one of those white things you can tap on.
Would you have, Sinita, would you take, if somebody said to you, now there's a lovely wool coat that this
belonging
man,
to the man,
and
yeah.
And it was a farming
overcoat. Or a pair of boots.
Absolutely.
A pair of boots.
Absolutely. You would be dressed in the clothes of the dead.
Meanwhile.
Nice. Any time you see a Sinita and he's wearing a nice coat, you know that that came from a dead man.
And Sinita's wife, while Sinita goes in and does that, she goes into the kitchen to have a glass of cava.
she goes in and she goes,
can I have a shower?
She'd be upstairs stealing stuff. I'd be eating the food, she'd be fucking rifling through jewellery boxes.
All the rings.
On, no, she'd be there. She'd be in the Triton.
Sinita, we have to go now. We're all done here in this house. The blessings of Gandhi. The blessings of Gandhi.
Bring the sin eater
in. Bring the sin eater. We're going to
run the bar. And then the wife says to me, can I use your toilet for a second? And meanwhile, passports. Credit union bars.
Toothbrushes, soap, anything. The blessings of God, you know, we have to go to the sin eater.
And your lovely woman. The sin eater, the wife. Isn't she a lovely woman?
I'm very sorry for your troubles.
What did she do?
And she's walking out with the fucking the clinking of the new jewellery in her fucking
goblets of jewels in there. Sin eater, how do we do there?
And then we all said, thank you so much, thank you so much, thank you so much.
Rifling through the bag.
And an hour later, the wife goes up to the bedroom. Frank! That fucking bitch! Frank! Come up.
And you'd never be able to get them because you wouldn't know their names. Candlesticks and the whole lot in the pockets.
Ah, oh, yeah, Sinita.
That'll be interesting now. Sinita.
Can I go back to that question, though?
The soul.
Why do people say it's good for the soul? It's good for the soul. What's good for the soul?
Well, so I was talking to somebody and they said to me that they felt as if their soul was like a garden. And you have to pay attention to it and you mind it and you have to do things that cultivate the garden, so whatever that is for each individual. But then I want to ask you, does the country have a soul? So you're talking about places there that, you know, there's a fairy tree here and there's a fairy fort there and you pay respect to it. So does the country, does this island have a soul?
I think we do.
And how might we protect the soul?
Are we minded it enough?
Of Ireland.
I think that's why, and we go back again to communities and parishes and places like that, that there is a responsibility on each place to have to look after their own soul. Because I don't think there's one central soul for the whole of Ireland. Is there?
I wonder, because you know when the first people arrived in Ireland. So the folk tale of this is that Orvaglin Glungial was part of this tribe that came. And he was the first man to set foot in Ireland, and he was a poet, and he called Ireland into being before he landed. And they went up and they were travelling from, they travelled from Kenmare up as far as Navan or Ishnach perhaps, but up into the Midlands, and they met three goddesses, Bonva, Fola and Eru. And the first goddess, Bonva, said, my name is Bonva, this is my country, name it after me. So this was the first act of naming a country. Then they met Fola.
Mm-hmm.
And Fola said, I am the goddess of this country, named after me. And then they met Eru. And she said, I'm the goddess of this country, named after me. And from Eru we got?
Era.
Era. So that's how Ireland got its name, of Era. So that would suggest that, say, that Ireland has the soul of a triple goddess. According to old folklore, Ireland has the soul of three women. So I'm just curious about that, and because we hear very little in public life about how to encourage, how to protect, yes, or how to stay in touch with the soul of the country.
Yeah.
We're all here about business, we're all here about jobs, we hear about motorways, we hear about fucking vaccines, we hear about sport, we hear about children, we hear about old people, but we hear about celebrities. And we hear about the decline of the church. And the decline of the church has nothing to do with the soul of Ireland. The soul of Ireland was in existence long before the church ever arrived.
Yeah.
But maybe it's worth thinking about. What can we do as a country, as individuals, to protect our own souls, and as a country to protect and encourage the soul of Ireland? That's all from us this week, ladies and gentlemen.
Profound, profound.
Next week on Donegal Doolings, Highways and Byways and Religious Trails.
Well, hope you've enjoyed the show.
Jesus Christ.
Good luck.
Has anyone got a tissue there?
Hello, it's Tommy here. One more thing. We wanted to give you a taste of what to expect if you sign up for our members-only episode on a Monday. Exclusive and ad-free. Find out all the details on thlpod.com/members-only.
Shuma, now, I want to let you in on a little secret, Yosef.
Yes?
I have travelled to many, many countries where I have taken baths in many mountains. I like having a bath.
Great.
I am back home. I am back home in Ireland.
Oh, this is heaven.
Oh, my word.
Well, I'm going to stay in here for the night.
Oh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
Oh, this is
come up, you little Sagosha. Oh, my word.
Oh, this is Tommy.
Oh, your Jesus, bath is Mary and Joseph. Oh, thanks be to God for hot water.
Oh, that is.
Thanks be to God. Ishke te, ishke bra, ishken seal, gurumil magata. A year.
This is just perfect.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, I'm getting one of these for my house.
Oh, Jeannie Mac.
A Yosef, is it?
And just finally on this, I know Yosef, and this is mind, body, wellness. We have completely detoxed from the world. This has been an amazing thing. But in Ireland, there's only one thing that we have never, ever found the medicine or the cure for. And I believe now we have found the cure, because Loretta travelled from Dublin today with a grand old-fashioned hangover. Over to you, Loretta. How are you feeling?
Yes, the hangover is entirely gone now.
Wow.
So it definitely works for hangover. Out to Notre with you for a hangover. Sorted.
We hope you enjoyed that taste of our members-only episode. To find out more, head to thlpod.com/members-only.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.